Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to take back up our little series on praying for glory. And this is what we need to be doing, not only in our congregation, but in other congregations that you may be aware of, and perhaps you pray for them, or even fellow believing individuals that are dear to you, or perhaps they've come to you and they said, "Would you please pray for me?" And you have consented to do so, that what we are wanting ultimately in their lives is for the glory of Christ to be seen. I'm always amazed at statements like this from Peter, that the trial of your faith, can you finish this? Being much more precious than of gold that perishes. You ever read a statement like that and say, wow? Because we naturally value money how much? A lot. We spend a lot of time thinking about it, worrying about it. You say, well, I don't worry about it. Yeah, maybe. But I think just about everybody here has mentioned to me last year about the stock market and debt and the government and trillions and billions and all this type of thing. We do spend a lot of time dealing with that, don't we? Well, if the Lord is more concerned about the purity of our faith than of gold that perishes, guess what one of His concerns is? Purifying your faith. And you may not count that as valuable as the Lord does. And we may need to change our minds concerning that. But He has a way of accomplishing His purposes in spite of our misplaced values, doesn't He? So what is He interested in our church or in churches? He's interested in us praying for glory, the glory of God in that services. Now I want to read the last two verses of Ephesians 3, because what I want to talk about tonight is our glorious confidences as we pray. So in verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And when you read an amen in Paul's epistles, what he's doing is not only expressing his amen, but he is anticipating a congregational amen to this. So if our hearts are really falling right along in tune and we are warm to those things, when we get to something like that and we read amen, our hearts just say what? Amen. Right back to that. And what a blessing it would be one day in our congregation if we were reading down through Ephesians 3 and we got to the end of verse 21 and right before I could say amen, everybody just involuntarily said amen. You'd probably have to pick me up off the floor. Not because necessarily we said amen, it's just that involuntary amen that would bring all that together. We've been talking about in Ephesians 1, when we're praying about the glory, we're praying for the knowledge of Christ to run. Now let's just recover that. Verses 16 through 19 of Ephesians 1. We cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So there's our goal. How does this occur? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. He's praying for that knowledge to be shown, embraced, so that we are changed into that same image. Then when we get to Ephesians 3, Paul was praying for spiritual what? What does he say in verse 16? Spiritual strengthening. And so you have in verse 16 that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So for a church body, for an individual believer, what do they need? Well, they need prayer for the knowledge of Christ to be illumined to them, enlightened, so that they may see it and know it. It may live in them. And then secondly, they need the ability and the strengthening to do what? To live out that knowledge and that love. Now, when we come to pray for something, there are two ways that we can come before the Lord and pray. The first way is probably the way most of us do this. And that is, you know, we kind of have a laundry list of things, kind of have a prayer sheet, or kind of have something on your heart or on your mind. And, you know, you get down on your knees and you talk to the Lord and you say, now I pray for this, and then I asked you for that, and then I have concerns for this. And you get down the end and you say what? Say in Jesus' name, amen. And you get up. But there's another way to pray. And that is to pray knowing that what you're praying is His will. Now see, the first way you just kind of go, you know He's going to listen to you, you give Him that laundry list, and you get up and walk away. There's another way to take that laundry list, and that is to put as a foundation underneath all of that His will. Now let's revisit this. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. We have one more message in 1 John where we'll be engaging with this, but I just want to remind you of this passage in verse 14, 1 John 5, about our assurances. What is our assurance when we come before Him in prayer? Well, this is the confidence that we have in Him. All right, what is this assurance that we have? Well, that if we asked anything according to His will, He what? He's hearing us. Now remember, we brought this up, that it's not if you're praying according to His will, He will in the future hear you. It's that He's hearing you when? When you're praying that. At that exact moment, when you ask anything according to His will, He is hearing you. Not maybe. He is. All right? That's a great assurance, isn't it? That's a great confidence. All right? Verse 15. Here's the, as we proceed on. And we know, if you know that He hears you, how do you know that He's hearing you? Because you're asking according to His will. All right? You're asking according to His will. When you're asking according to His will, He is hearing you right at that moment. All right? If you know that He's hearing you right at that moment, verse 15, whatsoever you asked, understood according to His will, then you know that you have, do you see that? You have the petitions that you desired of Him. Now, the foundation of all this is knowing that you're asking in His what? In His will. And so, here's our assurance when we go before the Lord in prayer. We want the petitions that we desire of Him. How are you going to do that? Well, He's got to hear you. How does the Lord hear you? How do you get the assurance that the Lord is hearing you? Well, with that petition, you are asking Him according to His what? To His will. And brethren, that is a great confidence. You and I, when we go to the Lord in prayer, especially in praying for glory, We need a foundation so that we walk into that prayer with full confidence, and that we walk out of that prayer with full what? Full confidence that the Lord has heard us and that He is going to answer that. Now, so we go back to Ephesians 3. Verses 20 and 21 give to us the foundation of Paul's confidences. Now, this is going to be really, really helpful for us. His confidences rest in two things. First of all, in verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How would you say his first confidence is? What is Paul's first confidence? How would you word that? Well, would you not say that Paul is confident that something is supposed to be occurring in the church through the Son throughout how long? All the ages? All right, what is Paul confident in? He is confident that he knows the end purposes of all things. And what is that? It's the glory of God. And brethren, he's already mentioned that here in this epistle. Go back to chapter 1. And he's going to give to us the past spiritual blessings that are mentioned in verse 3, the present spiritual blessings that are mentioned in verse 3, and the future. And in doing that, look at what he says here in verse 6. God has chosen us. He has predestinated us. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His what? Grace. All right? Those blessings are supposed to promote something in us. What? To glorify God by praising Him for giving us those spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Isn't it a great thing to know that God chose you before the foundation of the world? I tell you, I'm happy about that. Because I know that if He did that, that He's going to keep me all the way. Worlds without end. Amen. Because He did this. And He undertook this in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful? Verse 4, that He chose you before the foundation of the world in Christ, that you would stand before Him one day, holy and blameless, even though you're a sinner. Aren't you thankful for that? And folks, when we get a hold of that and when we see this in all of its majesty, you're going to sit there and what's going to come out of your mouth is a rejoicing and a praise for the glory of His grace in doing this. Or we have the similar situation concerning the present things that He is doing. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of what? His glory. Folks, when we meet people, okay? Stephen's right here. When I see God's grace working in Stephen's heart and life, what should I do? I should say, Hallelujah, Lord! This is a great thing. This is the glory of Your grace working in someone. Or, you know, I go over here and look at Alfreda and say, wow, what a blessing. You think she's grown? Amen. Well, what do we do? Say, oh, well, that's kind of natural. No, you sit back and there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart and you say, wow, praise be unto You, Lord, for what You're doing in her life. Now, if you told that to her, she'd look at you kind of strange. Because we always see others better than ourselves. Okay? You think it's strange if you told her she's really be growing and she said unto you, I know that. I'm glad you finally realized it. No, you want her to fulfill that verse, right? And so when you're sitting there and you're thinking you're not growing, you may find out someone else here in this congregation is looking at you and saying, wow, if I could only be like her or him. And if you found out about it, you go, me? Well, that's exactly the way we should be feeling about that. So folks, in verse 12 of Ephesians 1, we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And He says the same thing, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of... What kind of service do you think we're going to have when the whole body of Christ is gathered together for the first time? I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to look just like Revelation. There's going to be praise and glory and music and majesty and everybody. Don't you get, you know, I call them goosebumps. You know, when you're in a room and there's a lot of believing people there, and it's one of those rare moments where the Holy Spirit has filled people and they are speaking to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and their hearts are making melody, and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you realize this is something really unusual. And you just kind of, you're singing, but you just kind of think about what's happening. It's like, oh, wow. Well, what's it going to be like when all the saints in heaven and all the saints on earth and those that are under the earth and those that are in the heavenlies all gather together in unison and say, worthy is the Lamb. You think that's going to shake the universe? You think that's going to glorify God? So folks, the point here is this. When Paul says at the end of chapter 3, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, He's already been talking about the glorification of God. He knows that the end of all things is the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And that lays the foundation. And brethren, doesn't that help us when we pray? We know that when we're praying for an individual or a corporate body or whatever, we're praying that God's glory would be forwarded so that people see that blazing light in us so that they don't glorify us, but they glorify our Father which is in heaven. And when that happens, you know that the Lord Himself is working. So this is Paul's assurances. He is assured that God is going to get glory in the church through His Son forever. He's assured of that. And so he's going to base his prayers on that. Second confidence, and that is given in verse 20. What do you think Paul's confident of here? That God is what? He's able. You see that? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. All right, now here's where we want to park here just for a few moments. I would dare say that if I gave you a Bible quiz, I'm not going to do this, I might be disappointed, but if I gave you a Bible quiz and I said, what is the end of all things? Blank. I would gather that probably most, if not all of us, would put something down about the glory of God or the glory of Christ. Okay? If I had down on that Bible quiz this question, do you believe that all things are possible with God? What do you think we'd have on that quiz? How many of you think that they'd put yes? Okay? But do you know how many of us live that out? That we really believe that God is able to do all things? Very few of us. Very few of us. We would make statements like this. They'll never get saved. You ever said that? I've said that. I said, this person's hopeless. Really? Is there a God in heaven? You say, well, I've witnessed to them over and over and over. Are they breathing? Are they alive? Have you prayed for them? With assurance that God is able? Or, you know, we'll be in a situation and it'll really look hopeless. It's like we're up against the Red Sea. You can't go to the right, can't go to the left. All you can do is go forward. You got the Egyptians behind you. And folks, when we're in a Bible classroom or we're in Sunday school and we asked ourselves, is God able? And we're all saying yes. And now we're sitting there before the Red Sea. And there's a mountain on the left and on the right. And the Egyptians are coming down with swords breathing down your neck. And all of a sudden, you're coming up to me and say, Pastor, what are we going to do? Can't you see? And if I said to you, well, why don't we pray about it? You'd say, pray. It's not time to pray. It's time to panic. And folks, what I love about that is that's exactly what Moses did. You know, Moses goes out. He goes out in front of the people and says, what's your problem? Be confident. God's going to deliver us. And he leaves the church service and goes back into his closet. And he says, oh, God! What are you doing? And God says, what are you talking about? Why are you crying to me? Go forward. That's the way reality is, isn't it, brethren? We can know all the facts on a Bible quiz. You can get a master's in Bible and know very little about the fulfillment of God's Word in your life. He says, God is able. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And she was troubled at this. And the angel tells her what? She's going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And she says, verse 34, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angels answered and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the what? The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. Mary, with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. You believe that? Let's put some rubber to this. Here's David and Lisa. And they're just about to get married. And Lisa goes up to David and says, I think you need to sit down. So David looks up, he sits down, and Lisa says, I'm going to have a baby. Andrew, what do you think Dad would do? All right, then she says, I am pure. And David says, He says, you know, an angel came down. Men, what would you do? Would you believe this or not believe this? What would be your initial reaction? Skepticism, wouldn't it? Why? Because we forget that with God, what? Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Look over in Matthew 17. Here the Lord cast out a devil. Jesus says in verse 20, they asked Him, why couldn't we cast him out? And He said, because of your unbelief. For if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be what? Nothing shall be impossible. In other words, folks, Paul believed that God was able, that He was able to do this. Now let's go back to Ephesians 3. And hold your place and go back to that first prayer in chapter 1. Do you think that Paul believed that Christ would give to that corporate body the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him? Do you think he believed that? Do you think that he knew that that would glorify God? And do you think he believed in the power of God, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ? And He wants us to know of that power. Do you think Paul believed that God was able? Yes, he did. And he based his prayer on that. Folks, do you think that he believed that God was able when he prayed, verse 16 of chapter 3, that God would strengthen them with might by His Spirit in their inner man? Do you think Paul believed in the power of God to do that? And that that would glorify the Lord? Or to know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passed knowledge, or to be filled with all the fullness of God? Do you think Paul believed that? Paul believed that God had the ability and the power to do this. Now here's the question. Do you believe that? What in your life is going on right now that you have been tempted to say this is an impossibility? You didn't go to the Lord with any foundation. You didn't go thinking God was able, He had the power. You didn't have any prayer foundation underneath that. You just kind of went to the Lord and you just, you know, now you're kind of doubting, maybe He will, maybe He won't. All right. If you believe that the end of all things is the glory of God in Christ, and you're praying for that to be fulfilled, and you believe that God has the ability to do this, you are on praying ground, aren't you? And if you asked anything according to that type of will, guess what? He hears you. Right there when you're praying that prayer. It's an amazing thing that God has the ability to do amazing things like tear down the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. You would have never thought that would have ever happened, would you? Or to have a body of believing people of multitudes of different ethnicities, and guess what? Everybody's getting along and loving each other. Isn't that to the praise of the glory of His grace? And folks, we can pray things like this. Now, look at finally this. Look at verse 20. Nothing is impossible with God. But folks, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you asked. Haven't you ever asked for something and God did more than what you asked for? It's great. Folks, God's ability goes beyond anything you could ask. That's how broad His ability and His might is. Or this. This is amazing. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you what? Think. You know what that means? That means that God's ability goes beyond anything that could ever enter into your mind. Ever. Folks, we can't comprehend His love, verse 18, and we can't comprehend His ability, but we can believe in Him and rejoice in His goodness. Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that the end of all things is the glory of God? You pray on that ground, He'll hear you, and He'll do more than you could even think or ask for. Let's go to Him in prayer.